You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Many races are going to take days or weeks before they're called, but tonight we're going to get a first look at election results. Millions of Californians have turned in their ballots leading up to Election Day. As of this morning, roughly 40% of ballots have been returned statewide, to the tune of 9 million voters. And although results won't be posted until polls close, we do have a snapshot of who has already voted. Paul Mitchell is the vice president of political data, which tracks ballot returns across the state, and joins us once again with a look at early vote counts. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So before we dive into this election, you and your company have really become the go-to when it comes to voter returns across California. You break it down by major party, age, as well as some ethnic groups, even hone in on competitive races in cities and counties. How did political data get its start?
Well, political data got its start more than 35 years ago when a bunch of kind of data nerds back in the day, they used to fly around the state, go into a competitive congressional or legislative race, hand build a voter file from the county files, and then go back to the airport and fly to the next district. And there were about five of these folks, and they all would meet at the airports, and they said, let's start a company. Let's just do one big statewide file, and let's manage it. And what happens every election cycle that gives us this great data is that we have the statewide voter file, and we have all the prior vote history of these people. We have ethnicities. We have a lot of information about them. And we get from each of the 58 counties, right now today on Election Day, we're getting it hourly from some counties, the voter IDs of the voters that have returned their ballots so the campaigns can stop texting them, mailing them, phoning them. And we take that same data and we use it to do some analysis so that the media and public and campaigns can see it. And anybody can go to politicaldata.com. There's a little banner at the top that says early vote data. They can click on it. They could type in their school board district or a city or a county. It'll show them exactly who's voted with little charts and graphs. It's really easy.
So it has become easier to register to vote in California than ever before. We just heard from Secretary of State Shirley Weber. We have a record number of registered voters in California. How does early voting in this state compare to previous presidential elections?
Well, we have gone to a system now where everybody is mailed a ballot, and then there's multiple pathways for people to get their ballots back, either at a drop box, mailing it in, or like I'm going to do right after this interview with my ballot that's here in my hand, take it to a local vote center that's right across the parking lot here. And that system has been in place since 2020. So that was the only other presidential election we've had this system. And in 2020, there were a couple things that were different. First, it was the first time for many voters that they were getting a vote by mail ballot. It was during COVID. And the Secretary of State's office back then, when it was Secretary of State Padilla, they had a $35 million education campaign to tell people how it works and to do TV ads and everything like that to make sure everybody got up to speed with this transition. Because even though this system's way better, every time you change an election system, some people kind of get lost, let's say. They don't really understand how to do it, so they had to do a lot of education. So this is only the second statewide presidential election with this system, and we're already seeing a lot of people return their ballots.
When looking at early voting returns so far, I mean, if I'm looking at it correctly, it seems that it's lower than it was in 2020. You mentioned it was a pandemic. And so given, you know, public health, you know, people were mailing in their ballot. Is it fair to compare this election to 2020?
Yeah, I did a whole article for SACB at one point about a week and a half ago saying stop comparing this to 2020, because during COVID, we had a couple different things happening. What you're saying, obviously, during the COVID era, voters didn't necessarily want to go stand in a line at a local precinct, so they're more apt to mail their ballots in. But then there was also these like dueling conspiracy theories. The Republicans were being told by Trump and others that vote by mail is somehow akin to voter fraud, or that, you know, you should vote in person. Democrats had their own kind of conspiracy theories where they were saying Postmaster DeJoy is slowing down the mail so that our ballots won't get in. And here's a video of people in Portland taking out a post box and weird things like that. But what it ended up doing was it forced a lot of Democrats to kind of, based on their ideological strain, vote earlier, earlier, earlier. And some Republicans only vote in person. And we still have some Republicans that are still only wanting to vote in person. But we're, you know, as we get through the election cycle, I think more people will get into a pattern or a habit of how they vote, and then we'll stick to those habits going forward.
It is interesting that a higher percentage of California Republicans are using early voting compared to Democrats, percentage-wise. Obviously, there are more Democrats registered in the state. Does this track with data from past elections? Because when you've been on in prior elections, it seems like people, Republicans particularly, waited to vote in person because of what you just laid out.
So this is going to seesaw back and forth. So I just to make sure we know, I don't want to confuse people. But early, like pre-2020 and back in the 2010s and 2000s, vote by mail was predominantly a more Republican thing because it was mostly homeowners that, you know, were voting by mail, and younger voters and renters and so on weren't necessarily using as much vote by mail. In 2020, we converted the system because of COVID where everybody's getting this ballot. And so vote by mail obviously increased a lot. But with those kind of conspiracy things about that, the Republicans wanted to vote late. So when we were here in 2020, we said, oh, my, you know, the early vote was so heavily Democratic and Republicans late. I think this election cycle, there's a little reversion to the mean where especially suburban Republican voters are now voting earlier. In a lot of more rural counties like Placer County and Riverside, San Bernardino, we're still seeing Republicans wanting to vote later. So there's a little bit of an adjustment happening. And, you know, we'll see as we get to Election Day how much these other voters end up voting in person to make up probably 75-78% turnout, because the early vote is great to see, but everybody's vote counts equally, whether they get it in early or late.
Yeah. And historically, those who vote early tend to be older, whiter voters. And those demographics are once again leading the pack. But are there key differences you're seeing this year with early voting?
Well, definitely seeing that age differential. And what's really interesting is we can look at people who return their ballots from the beginning of the voting period, the beginning of October, till, say, Friday. And that population was more than half seniors, even though seniors are about 25% of the voters, and maybe only 15% young people. So 50 to 15% differential between these two groups that are roughly equal size. When we look at today's data, the data we're getting in right now, there are more young people than seniors voting all throughout the state. And so it's this issue of younger voters maybe being a little bit more lackadaisical about returning their ballots or just wanting to vote in person.
Who else are you expecting to vote in person today?
So we're going to have two different strains of ballots coming in for in-person voting, meaning like people actually go in the vote center and do it using a machine or something like that. One strain is going to be conservative Republicans who kind of believe the voter fraud thing, and they don't want to use a vote by mail ballot. And the second stream is going to be younger Latinos and renters. And what's interesting is that as we go through the election vote counting process, when you see tabulations tonight at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock of who's winning these races, that vote is only representative of that 9 million ballots that have been cast early. Then we're going to see another report at around 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock. That's going to be the people who went into the vote center like over here and voted in person using a machine. And then maybe by midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week, we're going to see all these ballots from people who used drop boxes today, mailed their ballots today, but the counties have to take their time to, you know, verify the signatures and, you know, process those ballots. So we have these tranches of ballots that we get counted at different points in the process. And depending on where you are in the state, those three tranches can act very different politically.
And that's really important to keep in mind, because there can be some races, you know, at 8:01 tonight, where it seems like someone's on top. And then in the coming days or even weeks, perhaps, you know, it can completely flip on its head. And then that can open up, you know, people being skeptical of the election process. And it's really good to lay this out, because each vote is equal, but there are voting trends of who votes early and who votes day of.
Yeah. And so we end up having this thing that's there's a what's called a red shift and a blue shift. A red shift is, let's say, inland state, inland California, I think a lot of those areas. If the Democrat is ahead tonight, we might see in the days to come that that district gets more and more Republican because there's more Republicans voting late there or voting in person. But in Sacramento or in coastal counties, coastal congressional districts, it'll be the opposite. Even if a Republican is ahead on election night, it's probably going to shift more towards the Democrat. Or in a municipal race, we saw in Sacramento, the mayor's race.
Like in the primary.
Yeah, in the primary, Flo Kofer was in fourth place on the ballots counted election day. She ended up being the top vote getter when it was all done because a lot of her younger minority voters, renters, were voting for her versus the other three more establishment candidates. So these shifts happen. They're reflective of the total vote and definitely no reason to doubt the process.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Paul Mitchell from Political Data about early vote counts across the state. Okay, your focus obviously is on California, but what stands out to you about national polling, early voting in the presidential election, especially in those key swing states?
Well, national polling has been a roller coaster ride. And as of last night, essentially the polling averages show Kamala Harris with a small lead, but the models have it really tied. And it's going to come down to the swing states. And I'm waiting, honestly, until about 4:35 o'clock today. That's when Georgia gets announced. And Georgia is going to be one of the critical early states. There's two things that are really striking about Georgia. One is demographically, you're going to be able to see the performance of the presidential candidates, both in an urban area like Atlanta and suburban areas. That might be able to tell you something about how the rest of the states are going to break down. The second thing is that if Kamala Harris wins Georgia, she now has two paths to win. She can now win by Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada, or win by getting all those blue wall states, the Midwest states that everybody knows about. So that's what I'm going to be watching. And it's really interesting. I could talk for hours about the models and the betting markets and analysis of early vote and all the other things that people are throwing out there to try to interpret what's going to happen or predict what's going to happen in the next few hours. But it is on a razor's edge.
Do you think it's going to be called tonight?
I lean towards the race being called earlier than later, so maybe by tonight or tomorrow. And the reason is kind of nerdy, but all these polls are essentially saying the same thing. They are herding is what most people would consider that, meaning that they're all kind of putting out results where they want to have the results not be big outliers. They're also using the same kind of projections of how many white seniors are going to vote, how many young college students are going to vote, how many African-American or Latino voters are going to vote. And when there is a miss because they have all underestimated the number of independent women that were going to vote or something, that miss is going to go across all the polling in all the states and create correlated errors. So if one state is off by, if Georgia's off by 5 points towards one candidate or the other, you can presume North Carolina is going to be off by 5 points, one candidate or the other, because they're using a lot of the same models to predict who's going to vote. If any of the blue wall states are off or Arizona and Nevada are off, they're going to kind of move in unison. So I think it's more likely that somebody's going to get 300 electoral votes than it is going to be a situation where both of them are around 260 to 280.
Yeah. And we're just going to have to wait and see. Locally, of course, you touched upon this. We have a mayoral race in Sacramento. What does early voting look like in the city? I think returns so far, we're in the 30 percentile, I believe like 33% or something like that as of this morning.
Yeah, and I literally just ran it and found that it was 38% turnout right now. You know, Democrats are at 41% turnout. Republicans are at 44%. It's still skewing very old, with 63% of the vote coming from seniors, only 21% from young voters. And only it's definitely going to be a lot of ballots counted after tonight. I think that we're not going to know the result tonight in this race. And I think it's going to be closer than people have thought.
Yeah. Do you think it will be a similar situation to the primary where you mentioned there were four candidates and that, you know, they were kind of all moving around and shape-shifting and it took a while to actually see where they landed?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think it'll be close-ish. And tonight we might have a result where one of the campaigns feels pretty confident. But presumably with half of the ballots or more probably still to be counted after tonight, and with the amount of movement we saw in the primary, I don't think there's a scenario where anybody's going to be able to call the Sacramento mayor's race tonight, let alone this week.
Overall, across the state, we're at 40% voter turnout for early voting. Do you have any predictions for the overall turnout this year? Do you think it could be a record breaker or very strong?
So I think it'll be very strong. Historically, I think that it's going to be, you know, a high turnout, meaning around 75%, probably not 80% that we saw in 2020. It is a little interesting that nationally, there's a lot of projections that it's going to be record high turnout exceeding the 2020 COVID election year. But most of us in California have been presuming that we're not going to hit that COVID 80% number, in large part because, you know, during COVID, we didn't have the distractions of life keeping us from going to the voting, you know, to vote. Yeah. And so many people were voting early. It just seems like there was less friction in the voting system because of COVID, ironically. But 75% turnout, 16.8 million voters, something like that.
So, well, there's a lot of exciting information in early voting data. But, you know, for me, it's usually the day after the election when you really get to sift through preliminary results. And you're going to be joining us again tomorrow so we can sift through them tomorrow. Yep. You know, in the next 24 hours, you know, before we see you again, what are those big unknowns that you're going to be keeping a close eye on tonight?
Well, I mean, obviously, the presidential race. In California, we have also possibility of flipping the control of the House. There's about seven congressional districts that are in play, one where Democrats are trying to hold the Katie Porter seat in Orange County. The remainder are Republican-held seats, but they're Republican-held seats that have flipped back and forth. The Democrats maybe won in 2018, but then lost again in 2020. So I'm definitely going to watch those again. I think most of them aren't going to be called on election night. So we're going to be seeing how that works. We're going to be looking at what we project to be like, how they'll shift after Election Day. There are some other interesting races around the state. Down in Los Angeles, there's a race for DA George Gascon, which some people in the Bay Area might know because he was DA in San Francisco. That's a interesting race where voters are voting in a nonpartisan contest for something that generally is pretty red and blue, which is public safety. And same thing with the ballot measures. I don't think there's as many ballot measures where we don't really know which way they're going to go. But Proposition 36 is a big public safety reform measure that if it had a ballot label and was said Democrat or Republican, voters would probably vote with the Democrats because they do in California. But on an issue where it doesn't have a partisan label, they look at it for what it is. And in this public safety environment, there's a lot of voters that are going to vote for a more tough on crime measure, given the current mood.
Paul, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Mitchell is the vice president of political data, which tracks ballot returns across the state, discussing early vote counts. And he'll be joining us again tomorrow, the day after the election. Still ahead, if you still haven't opened your ballot, you are not alone and have no fear. The California Voter Foundation is going to join us with some last minute tips. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.